You are listening to Long Innings, brought to you by Cricket Next. On this Long Innings podcast, we take a look at the best bowling pairs in cricket history.
Bowlers win matches. Without being condescending, almost every cricket fan worth his salt has heard of this adage. Cricket is a team sport, and while this occasional flash of brilliance from a player without any support from the rest of the team can still win the match for the team, this is not sustainable in the long run. A bowler may be bowling well on a particular day and picking up wickets at regular intervals, but unless he has support from the other end, at least in terms of bowling economically, all his good efforts will go in vain. Welcome to Long Innings with Sheetal, the greatest test bowlers. That's what this podcast is all about. Fast bowlers hunt in pairs, and the very nature of their output means that they cannot bowl long spells and need periodic breaks to recharge their batteries. Therefore, if only one fast bowler in a team is on song, the batting team can afford to play him with caution and attack the bowlers at the other end. Therefore, no matter how accomplished a bowler is, he needs support from the other end. There have been many great fast bowling pairs in Test history, like Harold Larwood and Bill Vose, Ray Lindwall and Keith Lindwall, Fred Truman and Brian Statham, Dennis Lilly and Jeff Thompson, and the assembly line of West Indian fast bowlers. In this podcast, we analyse five great fast bowling duos in Test history and talk about their strengths and how they complemented each other, and whether their performances in Tests that they played with each other made a difference as opposed to Tests without their partners. Now, since the number of teams in Tests were not that many in olden days, we're considering these five duos who played a significant number of Tests in tandem with each other and wreaked havoc with a new cherry in hand. James Anderson and Stuart Broad. Anderson is one of the greatest swing bowlers ever to play tests and has this ability to make the ball talk in conditions that are conducive to swing bowling. He may not really be of express pace and is currently just a medium-fast bowler in the twilight of his career. However, in his heyday, he was fast-medium, and that coupled with his ability to move the ball made him a handful, particularly in helpful conditions. While Dale Steyn may be quicker and has better stats, he cannot move the ball both ways at will, like Anderson can, and that is a feather in the latter's cap. There is criticism that Anderson is not as useful on flat wickets where the ball doesn't swing, but that can be said of most other bowlers. Anderson has played in 148 tests and has taken 575 wickets at a bowling average of 26.93 and a bowling strike rate of 56.2. His partner in crime, Stuart Broad, is slightly quicker than Anderson and relies more on seam movement than swing, though he can swing the ball as well. He's taller than Anderson and has the ability to extract bounce even from the most unresponsive of surfaces. Now, even though he's not of express pace, he is usually the enforcer of the English attack. Broad has played in 126 tests and has taken 437 wickets at a bowling average of 29.05 and a bowling strike rate of 58.8. So, yes, the duo has different skills and complement each other well. They have played in 113 tests together, and Anderson has taken 462 wickets at an average of 25.15 and a strike rate of 54.7, while Broad has taken 398 wickets at 29.03 and a strike rate of 58.6. Without Broad, Anderson's average goes up to 34.22, and he takes 6 balls more for each wicket. However, Broad's bowling average, that's 29.28, and strike rate of 61.6, are almost similar with or without Anderson. The circumstantial evidence suggests that Anderson benefits from Broad's presence more than vice versa. They are definitely one of the great fast bowling duos. Alan Donald and Sean Pollock. Donald is one of the greatest fast bowlers of all time, and in his heyday was capable of blinding pace. His spell to Michael Atherton at Trent Bridge is considered one of the greatest sustained spells of hostile fast bowling. Donald did not move the ball much, but was someone who was unflagging and used to charge in throughout the day and maintain his pace, whether it was the first or last spell. He had a wonderful run-up and used to sprint into the crease to generate pace. He had a variety of new ball partners, but the most famous and longest partnership he had was with Sean Pollock. Donald played 72 tests and took 330 wickets at 22.25 with a strike rate of 47. Towards the end of Pollock's career, he was just medium pace and lost much of his venom. But for a majority of his career, he was quite quick and posed a variety of challenges. He wasn't as quick, though, as Donald, but he did move the ball more and bowled stump to stump, not giving the batsman much width. He was more like Glenn McGrath, in the sense that he seamed the ball around without being express. Pollock played in 108 tests and took 421 wickets, which, by the way, was a record for South Africa until it was broken recently by Dale Steyn. And he had an average of 23.11 and a strike rate of 57.8. They complemented each other well because while Donald's pace used to intimidate batsmen, they did not get any chances to capitalize because of Pollock's accuracy and miserly bowling at the other end. In 47 tests together, Donald took 208 wickets at an average and strike rate almost identical to his career stats, while Pollock's bowling average improved to 21.65 in Donald's presence. In Pollock's absence, Donald's figures were not much different, while Pollock's bowling average increased by 3 runs in Donald's absence, which really suggests that Pollock had to work harder for his wickets without Donald's pace to soften up the batsman. If not for a 7-year age difference, they would have played in more tests together and taken more wickets in tandem. Waseem Akram and Waqar Yunus. In some ways, the achievements of this duo are the best among all the great fast bowling combinations, as they plied their trade in unhelpful conditions in the subcontinent and relied on both conventional and reverse swing. Akram now is considered the greatest swing bowler in the history of the game and also the best left-armer in Test history. He had the ability to swing both the new and the old ball both ways at will and also had a very fast arm, which often deceived the batsman with respect to the pace at which he bowled. He used to just amble in and generated most of his pace from his shoulder and quick arm action. Akram played in 104 tests, took 414 wickets at a bowling average of 23.62 and a strike rate of 54.6. Now, Waseem was equally good when he went around the wicket and never gave the batsman any respite. If pundits were to choose an all-time World 11, Waseem would almost certainly be a unanimous selection in their team. Waqar was quicker than Waseem, but did not possess the ability to swing the ball both ways like Waseem. He relied more on outswing to the right-handers with a new ball and inswing to the right-handers when the old ball started reversing. Waqar was famous for his inswinging Yorker, which clattered into the base of the stumps of the right-handers, or which sent them to the hospital with a fractured toe after trapping them plumb in the foot. Waqar took 373 wickets from 87 tests at 23.56 and a bowling strike rate of 43.4. The pressure on the batsmen was relentless, as they always swung the ball and the left arm of Waseem created different angles. The pair played 61 tests together and Waseem took 282 wickets at 21.33 and a strike rate of 49.2, while Waqar took 277 wickets at 22.92 and a strike rate of 42. A surprising stat is that Waseem's bowling average increased to 28.5 and he took nearly 3 overs more for each wicket in Waqar's absence. Even Waqar's bowling average, 25.38 that is, and bowling strike rate of 47.7 dipped in Waseem's absence, though not quite as drastically. This proves beyond a doubt that they hunted as a pair and complemented each other. Dennis Lilly and Jeff Thompson. Dennis's captain, Ian Chappell, considers him the greatest fast bowler of all time, and most respected pundits select him in their all-time World 11. Dennis Lilly was a fast bowler who lost pace midway through his career, but compensated for that by his knowledge and ability to bowl a nagging line in length while still bowling at a decent pace. At the time of his retirement, he held the world record for maximum test wickets, and if not for injuries, could have taken even more test wickets. He played in 70 tests and took 355 wickets at 23.92 and a bowling strike rate of 52. Now, Thompson is considered by many critics as the fastest bowler of all time and one with the capacity to inflict serious physical injury. He had the ability to extract disconcerting bounce from even a good length and wrapped many batsmen on their knuckles. Even the mighty West Indies team of the 1970s were terrified at the mayhem unleashed by the duo in Australia in 1975-76 and lost 5-1 while being intimidated by the pair's sheer pace and hostility. However, after some injuries, Thompson lost his pace and his potency. He played in 51 tests and took 200 wickets at an average of 28 and a strike rate of 52.6. In 26 tests together, Dennis Lilly took 119 wickets at 26.26 and a wicket every 54 balls, while Thompson took 98 wickets at 28.34 and a bowling strike rate of 54.6. Surprisingly, Lilly's record without Thompson is much better, and he took 236 wickets in 44 tests at 22.74 and a bowling strike rate of 50.9 in tests without Thompson. Now, this can be attributed to just chance and not any particular pattern. Thompson's figures are almost identical with or without Lilly. Courtney Walsh and Kirtley Ambrose. Ambrose was one of the most lethal fast bowlers of his generation. Most fans are aware of Glenn McGrath's metronomic line in length, but Ambrose was just as immaculate and did it at a quicker pace. At the end of his career, he compensated for what he lost in pace by moving the ball off the seam. In his best times, his relentless accuracy and the bounce he generated from his height was enough to account for most batsmen. His spell of 6 for 24 to dismiss England for 46 at Trinidad in 1993 and 94 is part of cricketing folklore. He played in 98 tests and took 405 wickets at 20.99 and a bowling strike rate of 54.5. Now, Walsh wasn't as quick as Ambrose or Patrick Patterson, and for most of his career was the workhorse of the attack, particularly when bowlers like Malcolm Marshall were in the team. He maintained his pace even when he was in his mid to late 30s, and his economical action helped him with regard to his longevity. He mostly moved the ball into the right-hander, and it was no coincidence that West Indies' slump in world cricket coincided with his retirement in 2001 and that of Ambrose in 2000. Both these fast bowlers never swore at the batsman and preferred to let the ball do the talking. Walsh played in 132 tests and his 519 wickets was a world record at one time. He had a bowling average of 24.44 and a bowling strike rate of 57.8. The duo played 95 tests together and Ambrose took 389 wickets at 21.1 and a bowling strike rate of 55, while Walsh took 373 wickets at 24.3 and a bowling strike rate of 57.3. In 37 tests without Ambrose, Walsh took 146 wickets at 24.81 and a bowling strike rate of 59.1, which shows that he was equally effective with or without Ambrose. Since Ambrose played only 3 tests without Walsh, the sample size is really too small to draw any conclusions. That said, there might be more new ball partnerships in tests that are more prolific wicket takers, but the reputation of these 5 pairs we've spoken about will remain etched in cricketing folklore.
This podcast was brought to you by Cricket Next. Thanks for tuning in.